y'all. We're here. Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to make it do what it do. Yeah, God, dang it. We might take calls, we might not, but let everybody know that we're live right now. We're going to make this thing pop off. But you know we're going to take that real quick commercial break. So I don't want y'all to go nowhere. We'll be right back on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What's up, family? If you make music and you're serious about your craft, then you need to go online and visit my friends over at LegendaryMix.com. They have the experience you need to get the job done right. With almost 20 years behind the boards, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional audio mixing and mastering for a great price and a fast turnaround time. As a bonus, sign up to the email list at LegendaryMix.com and receive a discount link and free music marketing ebook. So don't hesitate. Get started right now. Visit LegendaryMix.com or send a text to 347-565-5892 or shoot them an email at music@LegendaryMix.com. Are you looking for 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs, LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products, including beard and face wash, balm oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all 5 products for just $50. So check this out, all at Beard Tree oilandherbs.com. That's beardtreeoilandherbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs. Attention parents and teachers, are you tired of your children listening to music that glamorizes drug use and negative stereotypes? If so, check out Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning educational program that uses hip-hop to teach children mathematics, science, self-esteem, and much, much more. This is a Black-owned product that needs to be supported. Go to giftedandlit.com to order their program today. Remember, that's giftedandlit.com. Yo, are you a fan of personal development and self-help? Loving hip-hop? You love to listen to podcasts? Well, check out my man Poe at PoePolitikin.com. This was founded in 2008. PoePolitikin is a self-help meets hip-hop brand. And with each interview, they teach the babies and they share success secrets with you, the listener. Past guests of the show include Yo Gotti, Currency, MC Light, Dead Prez, Rashida, Gorgeous Dre, and so many more special people out there in the game. So PoePolitikin has featured over 500 guests. Subscribe to his podcast on iTunes and listen to their most recent interview with Rap-A-Lot founder Jay Prince and rapper Big Pooh from Lil Brother. So check them out right now. Go to their website, PoePolitikin.com, and follow them on social media at PoePolitikin. Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a Black-owned business that sells all-natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail? Or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
Yo, we're here. We're back. Glad to have everybody tuning in right here on Tariq Radio. Hope you guys have had a lovely week. It's been raining all week out here in Los Angeles, so we're wet, but we make it a do what it do. Man, a lot of stuff we're going to touch on tonight's broadcast. Family, a lot we're going to touch on. Everybody, if you have not subscribed to the Tariq Radio channel on YouTube, everybody subscribe now while I'm talking. And also hit that like button right now to let everybody know we're making it do what it do. Hit that like button. Everybody hit that like button. We're getting a lot of people in the room right now. But we got a lot of stuff to touch on, family. Today's topic, we're going to talk about black heterophobia. People who have heterophobia against black Americans. There's a heterophobia movement that we're seeing, and I'm going to get into that later on in the broadcast. A lot of stuff happening in the news as we speak. I'm broadcasting late. So much news has been coming in. That's why I'm late. I was going to broadcast earlier, but there's just so much going on. BuzzFeed just put out an article, you know, throwing Trump under the bus, showing some more receipts that he colluded with Russia. I mean, they're coming with receipts heavy. They're really amping up the impeachment or the resignment talk right now. And that is a real possibility. Impeachment or resigning is a very real possibility. This Trump's lawyer is about to testify to Congress, so the shit is going to get real. And I'm saying that to say this. Black people, be prepared. Because if anything happens to Trump, the white supremacists are going to take it out on black people. Because we're always the main prize anyway. We're the main prize. And people have these little arguments among each other, and we kind of ignore it. And then all of a sudden, when it doesn't go one way with these groups bickering with each other, all of a sudden they start attacking us, and we don't know where it came from. This has happened throughout history. Just like with the Civil War. People talk all that bullshit about the Civil War helping to free enslaved Africans and all that. The Civil War had nothing to do with helping African people. They just didn't want the United States to be broken up because the South was, they were going to form their own country, and that was going to devastate the United States. They didn't give a fuck about freeing us. That was a last ditch tactic by Abraham Lincoln. So when he did that, he knew that there would be black people that would fight to help the Union win. And after we helped the United States stay together, the Union threw our asses under the bus. They had the Great Betrayal, where they took the federal troops out the South, and then they came up with these black codes and start fucking us up. And we can go even farther than that. When they had the draft riots for the Civil War, when they were drafting people for the Civil War up in New York, a lot of white people didn't want to go fight, so they started killing black people in the streets randomly. Black people who didn't know anything about all this shit. They just started attacking black people because they were mad because they had to be drafted. So we got to understand that whenever those in the dominant society, they're bickering with each other and certain things don't go the way of one group, they'll start taking it out on us. Remember Clive and Bundy, when they were going through that government standoff, him and his militia groups, and after they made the government stand down, he started talking about, okay, now let's talk about the Negro. I think slavery wasn't a bad thing at all. I mean, people were like, what the hell? Where did that come from? So we're always the prize. Whenever they're bickering with each other, we are the prize, and we got to be very cognizant of that. We can't take our eyes off that. So if anything happens with Trump. Understand, they're going to try to take that thing out on us, and we got to be on top of our game. Remember up there in Washington and Seattle, a group of white supremacists attacked this one random black dude on there after this one white supremacist in Charlottesville got sentenced. The same day, they start attacking black folks around the country. We don't catch these little symbolic things that they do. They do things in a very symbolic manner. So I'm saying to black folks, be on top of your game. Keep your eyes open. And this is why black people have to understand power. We have to understand how to collect power and how to exercise power and hold on to power. We think inviting all these other groups who's going to be our so-called allies, that's power. And we do not understand how weak that makes us. We do not fathom the idea of weak behavior. We've been holding on to weak behavior for a long time by inviting everybody in our circle. See, black folks, we need to get into a position where we'll circle our wagons and we are not going to let folks in. See, other groups have power because they don't let us in their circles. That's why they have power over us. Do y'all understand that, black people? Other groups circle their wagons when it comes to us. They let us in as tokens, but they don't let us in large numbers. Think about that. What group lets black people in their circles in large numbers? None. You can't even go into certain neighborhoods at a certain time if you're a black person. But we let any and everybody come around us anytime they want to, anytime they feel like it. We try to be kumbaya. We're going to have to start circling these wagons and excluding people based on whatever ideology or whatever. But we need to start tightening up our circle, because a lot of powerless people together don't mean nothing. You got to have people who are together and on code. Having millions of people standing together with zero code makes you weak and useless. We need small circles of people who are on code. That's power. You can exercise so much power that way. And the thing is, we're going to have to start getting rid of these Negro apologists who apologize for the white supremacists every time they do something slick. Now, y'all know for the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about these newscasters and these journalists who get on television and make that Martin Luther King fake slip up. I've pointed out several people doing that. Well, it happened again yesterday in St. Louis. There was a news reporter who did the exact same thing. And the news station, they said they're not going to reprimand him. They're not going to punish him because it was an honest mistake. And then he gave a BS apology how it was a mistake. Let me tell y'all something. And I keep pointing this out. Not only are these not mistakes for them doing that. And this was in St. Louis, by the way. And what's interesting, at this station, there was a sister. What's her name? Alexis Thompson or some shit. Like, I can't think of the sister's name, but they fired her because of an argument she got into with an intern at the station. There was this black Japanese dude working at the station, and he looked like the dude who was in the movie The Last Dragon, if y'all old enough to remember that. The brother who's in that movie, his name is Taimok, I think that's his name, but a lot of folks don't know that. So because he looked like that, she called him Bruce Leroy. She was like, hey, you look like Bruce Leroy. So that punk nigga went down to the human resources and told. So he was a coon. And he went and told on him. They fired the sister. So this is the same station. So they fired that sister for saying that to the brother, and which was, you know, it wasn't malicious at all, but they let the suspected white supremacist get on the air and talk about Dr. Martin Luther King, and they're not going to do anything to him. So understand this. Them getting on TV doing that over and over, and recently they're doing that, somebody from the top is telling them to do that. This is something that they're actually being instructed to do. That's not a coincidence that several newscasters are making the same exact mistake on television. They're trying to get people to normalize spewing racial epithets openly. and unapologetically. They'll verbally apologize, but they're not going to punish anybody. So they're going to do it with impunity. So they're getting your mind ready to get you right back into that Jim Crow thing. Not only is it deliberate, I'm saying that it's coming from the top. The people who run these stations are telling their newscasters to say this. So this means we're going to have to get on extra code around these people and stop making excuses for them. Al Roker. Remember, Al Roker was making excuses for this one dude who did that same shit. Al Roker was making excuses for him. Dr. Martin Luther King's family was making excuses for these reporters doing that. And shame on the King family. The King, and I'm not going to go back into them. I've been talking about them for the last few weeks. The King family also did something that was very funny style. They were going to have some kind of award show, and they tweeted this, but they took it down after people clowned him. They were going to have some kind of commemoration thing for John McCain. Did y'all hear about that? The King family, they're participating in something where they're going to commemorate John McCain. Now, do y'all know John McCain was one of the people who was fighting against Dr. Martin Luther King's having a holiday? He was one of the people fighting against that. And not only that, John McCain was fighting against civil rights. He's never been a friend of the civil rights movement. Look up John McCain. When has John McCain ever been a fan or a friend of the civil rights movement? And the King, this dude fought to have your father have a holiday and y'all up here cockeyed and kikiing with them? What's wrong with the King family? Do the King family, I mean, is the whole family on this in the sunken place? Are they being held hostage? What's going on with them, man? They all messed up, man. But I digress. I digress. I digress, man. This is why we're going to have to charge certain folks to the game. Look, family, all that, what they used to do and all that symbolic props, we're not going to have to give people symbolic props based on who your relatives were. That don't work. I'm not giving them symbolic props based on Dr. King's actions when they're doing everything to undermine his actions. You don't get no props. That's why I go in on John Lewis and all these cats. You don't get no props when you're undermining black society. Yeah, I heard they sold some of their dad's stuff. I mean, they're having a butter biscuit campaign, man. So we got to really be on top of our game. These people are trying to go back to Jim Crow. I heard down in Mississippi, they're going to start trying to pass a law to make the children pledge allegiance to the Confederate flag. Have y'all heard that? Down in Mississippi, they're trying to get a law passed where the children can pledge allegiance to the Confederate flag down in Mississippi. In Mississippi is funny style, too. There was a 61-year-old black man that was beaten to death by police the other day. And I don't know if it was it was a misdemeanor traffic stop, it was something real minor, but they end up killing this brother. And in Mississippi, they got this thing where they don't release the names of officers who kill people. So they got this Nazi unit down there, this terror squad that they're protecting out there. We better be on code. Family, y'all need to start getting your minds ready and getting on code, and let's stop the bullshit. See, we like to bullshit 24 hours a day. Y'all need to have a few moments of bullshit to give your mind levity, but get back to business. We focus on bull. I shouldn't be cursing because I don't want them to flag my video and ding it and, you know, do what they do. But we got to start being productive minded. We got to start thinking productively and really just get on code. We just got to get on an empowerment code. because we're being attacked left and right. Did y'all hear the story? It was a school called Blue Valley School. It was a black cheerleader. And the white coach, the white female cheerleading coach or the dance coach or whatever, he didn't want the black girl to be in some of the dance recitals or some of the games or whatever they do in some of the performances because her skin was too dark and it clashed with the rest of the group. Because most of the dance troupe is like lily white girls. So the coach was like, I don't want her to be in it because her skin tone is too dark and it clashes with the group. This is at Blue Valley. Where my people? Is this in Missouri? Where is this? People in the chat room, what state was this in? Yes, people, this shit is real. And the thing is, the sister's a beautiful sister. Beautiful chocolate sister. And I've told y'all that. Those white supremacist females, they can't stand an attractive black woman. There's nothing more than a white supremacist female than Mizzou. Was it Mizzou? Where was the school at, guys? Somebody help me out. Somebody help me out. Let me know what city the school was in, because I'm getting so much information. I don't get a chance to find out what state and city these schools are in. But, and it's a real pretty ass sister too. Pretty tall chocolate ass sister. And they know if they get out there with that fine, and this girl, like, she could be a goddamn model or some shit. It's in Missouri, right? So yeah, this girl get out there, ain't nobody gonna look at the other girls. That's what it really boils down to. That it's always this thing where the sisters come in, glow the fuck up, fly. Well, the white supremacist female got to take them down a notch. They know when that fine, tall ass sister get out there, ain't nobody gonna look at those other girls. You're not going to be paying attention to them. The white supremacist females, they hate attractive sisters. Nothing intimidates them more. That's why they love homely ass women. When it comes to us, notice, when it comes to us, they got to have us as homely as possible. And I was at the gym earlier, and I was looking at daytime television, and every fucking channel, it's a bunch of white people and one fat black woman on there. Every show I turn on is a bunch of white people and a fat black woman on every other channel. That's not by coincidence. That's very deliberate. I'm like, who is this? I mean, they will find an overweight black woman at the drop of a hat. Because that's to make white women feel comfortable. They understand that's the kind of black woman that white women feel comfortable around. That's what they understand. So that they always got to get them big and jolly. It's that old mammy thing. You got to go up there looking like a mammy. That's why they love Oprah. When Oprah lost all that weight, Oprah, remember? Oprah has always been like a big girl, but Oprah lost a lot of weight. She got real skinny. Oprah got real, real skinny, and people were like, oh, damn, what happened? So she got real skinny, and then her ratings dropped. When Oprah got skinny, her ratings dropped. And there was a show, was it Forgive or Forget? It was one of those shows hosted by a big old fat mammy named Mother Love. Y'all remember her? This was back in the 90s. I think the show was called Forgive or Forget. This was when the talk shows were real big back then. And there was this sassy, big mammy woman. And I don't say that to disparage, but she was just real big, jolly woman named Mother Love. So that gives you an idea of the vibe they had. So they had, it's Star Jones again, Star Jones too. But yeah, Mother Love was on this talk show. And then something happened and they had to replace her with Robin Gibbons. They put Robin Gibbons' fine little old skinny ass up there. Boy, them ratings fail immediately. Them ratings dropped. A white woman is not trying to look at an attractive black woman. They do not want that. That intimidates the shit out of them. So they're always doing little things to sabotage sisters, especially if you just even halfway attractive, they're always doing little conniving, little sneaky things to sabotage sisters, especially in the workplace. And I've talked about this many times. I've dated very attractive sisters who would go to work and they'd come back telling horror stories about how the white supremacist females be complaining about their clothes, complaining about their hair, just making up little things to complain about. You dig? So that's always been a thing with them. That's why these white women's groups, they always get the shea butter feminists. And when you look at the shea butter feminists, most of them are beat up, rough, homely, toe up looking. Let's just be real. When you look at the shea butters, them shea butter feminists, these are not the best looking women ever. Many of them are very homely at best. Many of them are very masculine looking. And that's what they like. That's who they parade around them. They like the Tarana Burks too, whatever. Yeah, they love them. The women who are not traditionally attractive. And I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but I'm just talking 100 here. They don't like attractive sisters being around. They like them homely because that gives them shine. It makes them, in their mind, look better by contrast. They always have to have somebody who they feel is a little lower than them in looks. Makes them feel superior. And anytime, and you look at the movement, out of all those women's groups and all this stuff, whenever there is an attractive sister who kind of slips through the cracks, who ain't masculine, who ain't toe up, they give her a hard time. Look at that sister, Tamika, is it Tamika Mallory? Who's a part of these women's groups and the Women's March and all that. What's that sister's name? Is it Tamika Mallory? I want to get her name right. Somebody in the chat room help me out. But she's a part of some of those groups. Tamika is a part of some of those groups. Somebody said, it's Tamika Mallory. So I did get the name right now. Tamika is a beautiful sister. Tamika Mallory is fine as hell. That's a beautiful, and I don't want to say fine like I'm like it's sexual or no shit, but she's fine as hell. That's a beautiful sister. And look how they treat her. They get her and try to make her bow down and condemn Farrakhan. That's their whole thing now, making her condemn Farrakhan because she has talked glowingly about Minister Farrakhan, like a lot of us have. So they get her and start browbeating her and like, hey, you don't condemn Farrakhan? Why don't you condemn Farrakhan? Why do you do? They got to browbeat her and kind of put her in her place. You dig? And I'm glad she's kind of maneuvering and, you know, finessing her way through the game. She ain't letting them make her bow down. And I take my hat off to her as far as that. People in the chat room say she's kind of an all lives matter. I get that. But she is a beautiful sister. I'll give her that. I don't know too much about her ideology. But she's the fly sister. I will give her that. You dig? But she held it down. She held it down. She didn't let them, you know, make her bow down like that. You dig? But certain sisters who are very attractive, a lot of the white women don't really want to be around them like that. A lot of the white women don't want to be around them like that. They like being around Gabby Sidibe. What's that sister? It's a real fine sister on ESPN, one of those sports networks. Is it ESPN, the fine chocolate sister? Tamarin Roof? What's that sister's name? What's that sister's name on ESPN? Real slim chocolate sister. What's that sister's name? My people in the chat room. What's that? Help me out, guys. I ain't talking about the bedwench. Cherry Champion? Hold on. Carrie Champion? Hold on. Let me look her up, guys. I don't think that's her. No, that's not her. Can't read. I don't think that's her, but let me look up Carrie Champlin. Carrie Champlin, hold on. Okay, that's another one. Oh, no, this not her. Not Carrie Champlin. Champion. The other one. It's Tamarin or Cameron. What is her name? Not Tamarin Hall. She's on one of those sports shows. Not Jemele Hill, nigga. Come on, man. Y'all help me out. Is Roof something? Tamarin Roof? Something? I don't watch these shows. Taylor Rooks. Is that? Yeah. Somebody got it. Yes. Taylor Rooks. Yes, her. And I'm looking at this Carrie Champion sister. Oh, she's a beautiful sister. She's beautiful. Is she Bedwinching, though? This Carrie Champion, I'm getting a Bedwinch scent. But Taylor, hold on, let me look up. Hold on 1 second, because I follow her ass. Don't tell my wife, goddammit. But yeah, Taylor Rooks, I follow her. That's a fine motherfucker right there. And I don't see her with white women too much. You don't see white women hanging around sisters like that. Yeah, that's her name, Taylor Rooks. She's tall, slim, sexy, chocolate as hell. That's a bad one right there. Taylor Rooks is sexy as hell. She be seducing niggas when she be interviewing their ass. Nigga. Taylor Rooks, that's my psychological side piece right there. Just in my mind. In my guy. Yeah, Demetria Obalor too. That's another one. But yeah, you don't see them two hanging around white women too much. White women don't like hanging around sisters like that. You dig? So Taylor Rooks dates Jesse Williams? Okay. Somebody said, don't I got a wife? I do, nigga. And what are you talking about? Hold on, we got the wedding police in the chat room. Don't you got a wife? Yeah, but that sister's fly. God damn, I can give it up and say she's fly. She's fly. You dig? Nigga in the chat room, whoever you are, she's fly. Just like your grandma's fly, nigga. And your grandma's my side piece. We go to bingo games on the low, nigga. But the point is, you know, no matter where you go with it, man, the white supremacist, male and female, they're going to have vitriol towards all of us. And we can't escape it. They're going to have vitriol. So ain't nowhere to run, ain't nowhere to hide. We just got to understand that we need to get rid of the entire system of white supremacy, non-justice, and replace it with the system of justice. Because we still have stuff like what happened with Laquan McDonald's case. I know y'all heard about that with Laquan McDonald. The officers, and then for those who are not familiar, there's a brother named Laquan McDonald who got executed by race soldiers in Chicago a couple of years ago. It took them forever to bring the thing to trial. There was a big cover-up. The cops got all this surveillance footage, and they hid it, and they buried evidence, and they went out of their way to cover it up. I think one of the cops was convicted, but the people who helped him cover it up, the judge threw that out. So, you know, they're going to protect themselves. The system of white supremacy is going to protect themselves. And this is why we cannot get into a position where we ignore the white supremacists. This is why, shame on so many of these Negroes letting them finesse y'all with this R. Kelly bullshit. We can't allow them to keep getting away with shit and getting ignored, family. And when you guys co-sign this con game they're doing with R. Kelly, let's just really get into that real quick. When you take the eye off the ball and basically give them a pass, because right now I'm doing a lot of focusing on white predators. We got a movement called First Them. We've been using the hashtag First Them. We have a website, firstthem.com. Everybody listening, you need to go to the website and contribute as we speak, firstthem.com, because we have made a movement out of this where we're going to counter the racist narrative of all of these groups that are racializing these sexual assault cases. It's really cases where they're attacking black people. They're skipping over all the thousands of white predators and really just attacking black people and trying to squeeze money out of black people, raise money by using the black sexual deviant boogeyman narrative. Firstthem.com, that's where you need to go. And we're doing this because we're not going to keep giving these white predators a pass. And this is what a lot of these organizations are doing. This is why they keep going in on R. Kelly. They got another special about R. Kelly tomorrow, I think, on another network. So they're just going on and on and on and on about R. Kelly. Black folks, we need to stop falling for the banana in the tailpipe. Do y'all understand this is a con game that they're running? And if we allow them to do that, because let's be clear, I want black folks to stop being dumb. Man, we need to get on our Kelly K, man. This shit going on. What about our black girls? These suspected white supremacists that's going in on R. Kelly, do you Negroes really think they give a shit about black girls? Do you really think they do? Do y'all really think they're doing this because they give a damn about a black girl? It's time to stop thinking like babies and start thinking like grown-ass men and women. It don't matter, man. It don't matter what them white people think. It does matter because you ain't gonna do shit. You're waiting on the white people to do something, Negroes. I'm talking to you Negroes who are up here talking about we need to, as a community... It ain't about what white folks think. It's about what we need to do. Well, you ain't going to do nothing to R. Kelly or none of the girls, because these girls are women now. You ain't going to do nothing. You weren't going to do nothing, and you weren't going to say nothing until white people told you to. Let's stop with this whole Wakanda bullshit, like you about to put on your damn Black Panther suit and go out here and do something. You ain't going to do shit. You ain't going to do nothing. You weren't going to say nothing until white folks told you to say something. And you're just talking to get you a butter biscuit souffle. You ain't going to do nothing. You sitting around waiting on white people to try to do something to them. So you can be like, oh, there you go. That's what you get. So you ain't going to do nothing. So you're depending on white people. Negroes. Let's stop talking dumb. We love getting around each other talking dumb. Let's talk real. And that's what the white supremacists like. They like that dumb Negro babble because they capitalize off that stupidity in them finessing us. This R. Kelly thing is a smokescreen that they are using to get the heat off all their people. It's that simple. Dumb Negro. And the problem is a lot of niggas don't care. Long as you can get a pat on the head from white mommy, white daddy, because you don't like black society. And you don't give a shit about no black girl. Let's stop that whole fake, we need to do something about the black girl. We're thinking about the girls. It's the R. Kelly victims. First of all, Negroes. Ain't no girls no more. There's no girls. The girl from the tape from 2001 or 2002, she's grown now. Ain't no girls no more. So what girls? These women now. Well, somebody need to do something. Do what? Let's be real. Let's talk real. Because black folks just get to saying shit. We get into sloganisms. Let's be real. The thing is, we need to make sure that they do to all these white predators the same thing they've done to R. Kelly. Nobody's giving R. Kelly a pass. But the thing is, R. Kelly has not gotten a pass. See, they're trying to compare R. Kelly to all of these other predators. And the thing is, there's not really any comparison. See, this is the Jedi mind trick they keep running on y'all. They keep trying to compare R. Kelly to all of these predators over here that ain't nobody saying nothing about. They're just making it seem like, well, we just got to get R. Kelly because he's important. No. R. Kelly didn't get a pass if you really look at it. He didn't get a pass. Number one, R. Kelly was immediately arrested. none of these other guys were really arrested. Harvey Weinstein? Do you know how many thousands of other people in Hollywood on the hot seat who's been accused of shit? R. Kelly was arrested. Let's get that shit straight. R. Kelly was charged. And R. Kelly went to trial. Now, the shit didn't go the way a lot of people wanted it to go, but he didn't get any kind of pass with the justice system. They took him to the justice system immediately. So we need to make sure that everybody else is going to get some of that justice system too. All these other folks need to be arrested. All these other people need to be charged. So just focusing on R. Kelly, because what are they really going to do? You can't do nothing. Number one, you can't charge him for the videotape thing again, because that's double jeopardy. So let's just talk law. We're talking law now, so niggas just stop babbling bullshit. You can't charge him for that again. So now they got Gloria Allred and these people. They're just trying to figure out. They're trying to charge him for giving somebody an STD. So they're just trying to throw some shit on the wall and see what sticks at this point. Okay, if y'all doing that, let's start doing that to some of these other people too. Now if you're just throwing stuff on the wall, y'all need to start getting some of these other folks where you ain't got to throw too much on the wall. Y'all ain't even doing nothing to them. That's why we got first them. We got to stop letting these folks con us. And please, y'all, stop with that whole, we got to do it for the black girls, the black girls. Because a lot of y'all don't give a shit about no black girl. Last week, at a mall in North Carolina, there was some little black girls out there kind of bickering with each other, and some big grown ass huge 6'5" white man, 250-pound white man, got in the middle of a little girl, start arguing with them and pushing them around. And then one girl didn't want to be pushed, and this grown ass 51-year-old white man cocked his hand back and socked this little girl in her face, and the little girl was 11 years old. This little girl was a little black girl was 11 years old. And do you know that there are several Negroes and Negresses who watched the video and sat here and tried to justify the little girl getting socked in her damn face? You know there are Negroes out there who sat up there and justified that bullshit? And there was a lot of cats, because I posted the video and the video went viral. And a lot of people were under the timeline. A lot of black people try to hide their cowardice behind some type of fake disciplinary narrative. Like the kids ain't got discipline. The little girl in the video, that little girl to me had more courage than most of you adult Negroes who sat up and co-signed that. That little girl had more fucking courage. That little girl didn't want to be pushed around by a suspected white supremacist. That little girl didn't want to be punked out. That little girl knew that this guy should not have been out there antagonizing them. And that little girl balled her fist up and she said, hey, let's do this if we gonna do it. And the grown white supremacist suspect hit that baby girl in her face, and niggas was up here, well, damn, where she at? That what she get? That little girl is a soldier. That little girl had more courage than the average Negro adult out here. That little girl had a spirit in her where she didn't want to be a coward like all the other Negroes around her, all the other adults around her. She didn't want to be a damn coward. It's not natural to be a goddamn coward. It's not natural. The true spirit of Ogun was in that baby girl. That's a warrior. And the reason why a lot of grown Negroes and Negresses co-sign that, because they know they ain't gonna do shit about it. They know that they're scared to do something about it because, ooh, I just go to jail. They just gonna get me. because black folks got this thing, and I said this about slavery, we got this thing where we've accepted people harming and torturing our children. I remember there was a time where brothers would go handle that. Somebody sock your kid in the face, you go handle that. And of course the white supremacists are going to co-sign this white supremacist man socking this little girl in the face. I get that. Notice you don't hear nothing from these women's groups. None of the Time's Ups, none of the Me Too's, none of these women's groups are saying, hey, that grown man socking that little black girl in the face is wrong. But you know when they did come out and say something? When Kareem Hunt got into an altercation with that white woman at the hotel in Ohio, when he got into an altercation with her, all the groups came out. Everybody came out and said, hey, you never hit a woman. You're not supposed to hit a woman at all. Kareem Hunt, you're going to have to bow down. They made Kareem Hunt bow the fuck down. They made him apologize. They all got on Kareem Hunt's case. They said there's no reason, never, ever a reason to hit a woman. And we pointed out, hey, she was fighting him. Oh, it don't matter. He should have walked away. It's him. They didn't put no blame on that woman for jumping up on Kareem Hunt. That woman was hitting him, fighting him, fighting everybody else, and nobody at all said that that woman was wrong. Nobody. It was him. He should have walked away. He should have been a man. Him. Now the little black girl gets socked in the damn face. Well, damn, she need better home training. She need to learn how to act. She need to understand you can't be running up on folks like that. See, now that's coon talk. Let's just call it what it is. A lot of y'all on some coon shit. You're scared. Now it's a double standard. So now hitting an 11-year-old is okay. It's better to be contradictory than to say, I'm scared to go check this damn white supremacist. I'm scared to go stake his ass out and catch him at a light. I'm scared to go serve his ass some of that work for socking my kid. Just say that and stop trying to justify the bullshit. But I digress. But the thing is, family, back to these sexual assault cases, we got the First Them movement popping. And we're putting a lot of these folks on blast. Do y'all know, man, there's so many people out here. And we've been posting up cases within the last 48 hours just nonstop. We're posting up old cases. I posted up some shit about Jerry Lee Lewis. Him fucking with underage girls. Let me tell you something. In the music industry, while they got y'all talking about R. Kelly and bickering back and forth, because y'all ain't going to do shit anyway. Do you know that I would almost say the majority of these white rock artists, do y'all understand back in the day and even now, but really back in the day, especially in the 70s and 80s, all they were doing, these grown white rock stars, were up here boning 13 and 14 year old girls. Do y'all know that? That's all they were doing. They would do it and brag about it. Why y'all sitting up here talking about some damn R. Kelly? Man, we've been posting all types of receipts. I've been posting so many receipts, people are telling me, hey man, you need to do a documentary about this. And I'm low-key thinking about it. I mean, it would have to be 3 hours fucking long, though. I mean, just when you see the knowledge and get all the information, and you like, y'all focusing on R. Kelly when y'all got all these people sitting up here doing that thing and they're still alive? Like, Jerry Lee Lewis is still alive. A lot of people think he's dead. Jerry Lee Lewis married his 13-year-old cousin. He's still out here touring. Jerry Lee Lewis is not dead. You had a guy, Iggy Pop. Iggy Pop was out here fucking 13-year-olds and bragging about it. He wrote a song bragging about having sex with a 13-year-old girl. And I put up a post about Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent, not only was he messing with underage chicks, he had one underage girl. Her family had to sign her over to him, and he's bragging about it. He was like, well, shit, it's better her, better to get with me than some punk in high school. I mean, he's not even ashamed about it. And speaking of Ted Nugent, let me let y'all hear something real quick just to show y'all how insidious this is. And remember, Ted Nugent was in the White House, remember? Remember, Ted Nugent was in the White House up there taking pictures with Trump, okay? So these are not just some people that's off in the shadows somewhere. Ted Nugent was taking pictures with Trump not too long ago in the White House. But Courtney Love, this is Courtney Love. She's another rock star. And she talked about her encounter with Ted Nugent when she was 12 years old. Listen to this.
All right, listen to me.
I
want to interview you.
Thing.
I want to interview you if you allow me.
Sure.
She's on Howard Stern. This is an old clip from Howard Stern. This is Courtney Love talking about her encounter with Ted Nugent when she was 12 years old.
One of the first times you gave sex was with Ted Nugent. You went backstage, you claim.
And he hates me, and he can't remember it.
And you gave him oral sex.
Yeah, I was in my peer group, and they were groupies, and...
And you did it. You did that for Ted Nugent.
How old were you? 16 or something.
12?
I don't want to talk about it.
Be honest, how old were you?
I don't want kids to know how old I was.
But I think that's important so that we understand.
No, I don't think that anybody needs to know the age back then in the, like,
50s. How old were you? No, how old were you when you gave Ted Nugent the sex?
Really young.
12?
I didn't have breasts yet.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, that's sick.
It's sick.
How old were you?
The 11? One he said before. No, the one he said.
12. 12.
And a half.
You were 12 and a half?
Yeah, but I mean, like, that I had a disgusting, like, you know, I was in juvenile hall. I was 18 when I did the real thing.
So that was Courtney Love admitting that she gave Ted Nugent oral sex when she was 12 years old. And these people are just walking around doing their thing. Ted Nugent, he's still out here being racist as hell. You dig? And we're going to put all the emphasis on R. Kelly. Ted Nugent, never been arrested for that. I mean, Ted Nugent, didn't he write a song talking about fucking with a 13-year-old? Didn't he write one too? These are such white supremacists. They molest kids and brag about it. And I'm going to sit here and just act a fool over some damn R. Kelly? No, we're going to act a fool over them too. I'm not giving them no damn pass. I ain't giving that no pass. Especially a Ted Nugent with his racist ass. And we've been pointing out a lot of stuff. Rob Lowe, y'all know Rob Lowe had a sex tape where he was with an underage girl back in the late 80s. I mean, it's the list goes on and on. And now with R. Kelly, you know, they're trying to use words like sex cult. There's a sex cult going on with R. Kelly and all that old stuff. So they're trying to throw everything on the wall. Do y'all know right now, there's a case right now of a big sex cult and a sex trafficking operation. It's called NXIVM. It's a company that fronts as a multi-level marketing company, but it was really some sex trafficking and sex slave, sex cult shit going on. And the heiress of the Seagram's Gin Corporation, the heiress of that corporation, her name is Claire Brofman. She was involved in that. She was involved in this organization. As a matter of fact, they arrested her, and they released her on bail. Her bail was $100 million, and this motherfucker posted it. So that shows you the kind of money we talking. If you got your bail is $100 million and you post it? Now, how come y'all ain't never heard about that? They keep that real low key. But they outside of R. Kelly's studio knocking on the door and you got this going on? I mean, this is going on now. That was some of the details about this came out today. This ain't ancient history. This is going on right now with prominent names. But the white supremacists get on code and they know how to protect each other. You dig? Because they know how to stay on code and we don't. See, we got a lot of people within black society who despise black society. And the white supremacists, they study us. They know who to get and prop up. And look at who they get for Shea Butter Twitter. A lot of people for Shea Butter Twitter, these are people who the white supremacists study. When you look at the background of Shea Butter Twitter, somebody made this great observation one time. They said, in order to be a so-called black activist at one of these corporations, number one, you gotta not grow up around black folks. Number two, you gotta not go to school around black folks. And number three, you have to be told about black folks by white people. And that's how you become a black activist that they will promote. And that's very accurate. That's extremely accurate. Because the other, yesterday, you know, activist Sean King, he's suing one of these Shea Butters for slander. A lot of Shea Butter, they tell lies about a lot of folks. They tell lies about me all the time, so I don't even trip on the shit. And early on, some years back, I was going to sue some of them for some of the lies. But, you know, my legal team started looking at people's finances, and I saw how damn broke these folks were. So I'm like, well, damn, that's like squeezing water from a rock. They're so goddamn broke. But then I realized, don't nobody take them seriously anyway. But Sean King, well, he's filing some kind of paperwork to sue one of these Shea Butters. Her name was, one of them was Clarissa Brooks or some shit like that. And she's one of these black men hating Shea Butters. She's lied on me before. And looking into her background, because I was posting some shit on her last night of her growing up around nothing but white people. Every photo of her I found, she's the one Negro friend. She's the one black friend out of all the people. This woman did not grow up around black folks. She grew up as the token Negro. So she claims to be a queer feminist and all that bullshit. So if you look at her timeline, just every other tweet is about cishet black men. Straight black men ain't shit. Straight black men are evil. Straight black men ain't shit. And if you look at Shea Butter Twitter, and remember, these are the people who are propped up by white organizations. They usually work at some white media corporation or some white women's groups are funding them. If you look at them, and I want y'all to go on Twitter and look at some of the Shea Butters, some of the Shea Butter feminists, especially the blue check ones, the ones who got the blue checks. If you look in, you're going to see about three things. When you look at Shea Butter Twitter feminist with the blue checks, you're going to see that they work for a major white corporation like BuzzFeed, Huffington Post, The Root. These are all white publications. Ebony, Essence. You're going to see that. You're going to see that they're funded by some white women's group. They're going to be connected with Me Too, Time's Up, Color of Change, one of these white women's groups that sounds like it's multi-ethnic, but what it is, it's a white women's group that they got a couple of Negro mascots that they parade around, and then the white women get all the funding. Or you're going to see that they are some type of LGBT activist, and they're going to be funded by an LGBT group. Many times it's all three. Many times it's all three. And many times these women and men, and this is another thing, because I always look at how people were raised. When I see these Shea Butter men and women just going in on straight black people, I want to see who raised them. Where did they come from? See, I get into people's backgrounds. And normally, these people are first or second generation immigrants, so they don't really have any type of deep connection to American black society, so it's easier for them to throw us under the bus. Or they were adopted by white people, or they grew up in the foster system. And I've learned a lot of that has happened with a lot of these folks. This one little Thai tongue moist dude named Terrence Williams, I think that's his name. He's one of these coon conservatives. They use him and they prop him up. Yeah, y'all know who he is. He's real stupid looking. If you go to his Twitter page, he's like biting on a piece of chicken. So he's like a real coon. And he's some white organization. Somebody's giving him white talking points. He does this goofy bullshit. And found out he was adopted. This dude was raised by like a white adoptive family. And that's another thing. Whenever you see a lot of people who are adopted by white families, the dudes almost always turn out sexually confused. I've rarely seen a black man adopted by a white family who did not come out sexually confused. That's very rare. The only one I know is Colin Kaepernick. But I don't know too many black men who was around a white family who was adopted and didn't come out just completely confused sexually. Because somebody said, why is that? Very good question. You better understand, just because somebody adopts your ass don't mean that they are giving up white supremacy. And if you are a male, you are always a threat in a system of white supremacy. A black man being a male, being a man, is threatening all the way around. Black male dominance is very threatening. And white supremacy is very important. So the white supremacist male, especially there's a male around, the white supremacist male, they do not want to have a black man, a masculine black man around them, because it makes them look weak. The same thing with white women and attractive, sexy black women. White women don't like it. They don't like very attractive black women being around them. Same thing with a white supremacist male. The last thing he wants is a masculine, strong black man around him. It makes him look weak by default. Do y'all understand that? That's why when you go to these jobs and you see a black man, normally he's switching around the office. They love feminized black men, especially in Hollywood. Remember, Hollywood is a very sexual place. Look at all these sex scandals. It's a very sexual place. This is a way for a lot of dudes, white males, to use their power to get sex. Hollywood is a very sexualized place. This is why they put so much emphasis on R. Kelly. They don't think R. Kelly did anything wrong. They doing the same shit. Y'all dumb Negroes. Y'all got them sitting up here. Y'all up here talking some moral shit. Look at the people who's promoting this R. Kelly thing. These are some of the most immoral people sexually ever. It's a sexual cesspool. They do all types of filthy shit out here. But the thing is, it's a very sexual town. So having a black man come into the mix who's masculine, the women are going to go to him by default. That's why so many women chase athletes. When athletes come in the room, all the women gravitate towards them. They know that. When there's a black man standing tall, masculine, and then he got some money, the women flock. They don't like that. Now, they'll accept it with athletes because, see, in their mind, they can say, okay, well, he's a big plantation buck. Okay, he's an exception. He's an exceptional Negro, and we make money off of him. Our city makes money off of him. See, they don't mind that. That's a cool little trade-off, because the black athletes, the 12 Negroes on the team, you make money for the whole city. You know, people make money off of you. People, not only does the team and the stadium and the city and the taxes and all that, people make money betting off you. So you're like a racehorse to them. You know, they can almost look at you as like, okay, this is the Kentucky Derby. They're just another race animal. So that's how they can justify it without tripping. You're just a big buck. You dig? Somebody mentioned Terry Crews in the room. Terry Crews has been on the coon train. T- Terry, and I know you're probably listening, brother, get off that coon train. You're doing too much. Terry Crews is doing too much now because he made those accusations, those sexual accusations against the white man. He's been really on some shit where he's reprimanding brothers a lot now so he can get back good with white people. Yeah, Terry, tone it down, brother. You're getting too obvious and you're going to trip yourself up doing that. Terry, pull yourself back on that because the white people see what you're doing and you're going to shoot yourself in the foot doing that. Terry Crews is going around trying to, well, black people doing this, but a lot of these men, black men, Terry, come on, bro. Don't do that. Don't do that, Terry. Get your big swole ass off that coon train. Yeah, he's up here calling himself a feminist and all this old shit. No, bro. That ain't it, Terry. They'll turn on you, Terry, and then you're going to be looking right back at the black community after you talked all that shit. Don't do that. That's the mistake y'all keep making. Y'all sit up here and try to snuggle up with white daddy and talk greasy about black folks. And then when they turn on you, you're like, hey, brother, assalamu alaikum, brother. No. Come on now. Come on now. But the thing is, with a lot of these shea butters, they've been promoted to get online and to just completely disparage straight black people. If you look at them on Twitter, all they do is sit up and bash straight black men. And they're very particular about doing it to straight black men. You understand? You know who you never see get caught up in a sex scandal? Notice you never see gay black men get called out for some kind of sex scandal. It's always a straight black man tapping the women. But you never see a gay black man get outed or called out for doing anything sexual or sexually harassing anybody. You notice that? You never see that. Because that's what they want you to do. They want you to do that. They want you to be on that in Hollywood. They want that. They promote that. So they're not going to make it a bad thing. They want more of that. If you're a dude in Hollywood and you trying to fuck on other men, oh, they'll never out you. They won't say nothing. Well, somebody said Bambada, but the streets outed Bambada. That had nothing to do with the corporate world. The streets outed Bambada. But do y'all know how many dudes, somebody's naming names in the chat room? I ain't gonna say nothing, but y'all naming some names in the chat. Hey, you naming some names. The only time you see one of these little moist dudes whose sexuality has always been funny style, like Teray, excuse me, boy, Paris Denard, we know something's going on with Paris Denard. But the only time you see them get outed is if they done fucked around and flirted with a woman. Remember Paris Denard? Some woman said that he sexually harassed her in Paris. He's like one of these moist right-wing coons. When that came out, Paris Denard tried to holler? What? Paris Denard? Okay, I have to see that to believe it. But yeah, you don't see Don Lemonade. You don't hear nothing about Don Lemonade doing nothing to nobody. Now, Don Lemon, he's been on like some of those New Year shows, pissy drunk. Some of those New Year shows, Don Lemon be out there pissy drunk. Now, Don Lemon he done flirted with somebody, did something, but they're not going to out him as far as that. They're not going to out him. That's what they want. They want you to be like that. They want you to mess with other men. They encourage that. You'll never get outed with that. But the thing is, a straight black man, you walk into the Hollywood, the entertainment game, and you're masculine? Oh, that's a major threat. You're enemy number one right there. So that always has to be a tagline. And I'm telling you from experience, look, when I've gone into talk shows behind the scenes, them white women be in there choosing so heavy, but I don't be checking for them. And I never check for them like that. But just the fact that they would choose so damn hard, them white women, a lot of them be throwing themselves at brothers behind the scenes. And then later on, they'll start flipping. So that's why that ain't never really been my cup of tea. But you got to understand the kind of shit that do go on backstage at a lot of these spots. And the white supremacist males, when they see that, what they do, they pull these women to the side and then start coaxing them to say that they were harassed. It's a lot of these white supremacist males who are behind a lot of that shit. I want y'all to understand that. They see all that flirting these women are doing, and then they pull them to the side and then reprimand them and then say, hey, look, let's flip this thing. You dig? Then white supremacist males be hating. But understand, they have to make black males in general the face of sexual harassment and sexual deviancy. And I talked about this before. They got a movie, a documentary about Michael Jackson that they got coming out. And the center of this documentary, from what I understand, is going to be this one white cat, this dancer named Wade Robson, who used to hang around Michael Jackson a lot. So from what I understand, this documentary, which I know it's going to go through Sundance and all this stuff, but it's going to center around him. Now, Wade Robson, he's been around Michael Jackson since he was a little kid. For years, this Wade Robson dude denied anything nefarious going on with Michael Jackson. He's always defended Michael Jackson and said Michael Jackson never did anything to him. Wade Robson's family said Michael Jackson never did anything to him. So for years, I mean, they've been interviewing this dude for years, and he said Michael did nothing to him. Now, all of a sudden, around 2012, he changed. Around 2012, 2013, this Wade Robson dude flipped the script, and then all of a sudden, he started talking about Michael Jackson molested him and then tried to sue the estate. Now, Michael was dead at this time. Now, Michael's gone. And, you know, people are already calling out this Wade Robson dude. The thing is, this Wade dude was cool. Michael died, and, you know, Wade is still giving him props. And what happened was there's this big Vegas show that was going to happen. I think it did happen. I'm not sure, but it was in Vegas. It was like a Cirque du Soleil Michael Jackson tribute in Vegas. Real big show. And those shows are big money. And Wade wanted to choreograph it. And, you know, he had to go to Michael Jackson's estate in order to get permission. So I think he had the impression that they gave him the job. But what happened, the Jackson family and the estate ended up going with somebody else that they thought would be better suited. So Wade Robson didn't get that job. And once he didn't get the job, when he found out somebody else got it, all of a sudden he was molested. All of a sudden, oops, I remember. Oh, Michael did fuck me. You dig? So then he started filing lawsuits against the estate and all this. And I think some of them shits got thrown out. And, you know, he's trying to finesse the game, trying to get a book deal. And now this documentary thing. So, you know, these suspected white supremacists get around you, smile, grin, kiki, kaka, and in your face. And all of a sudden they flip on you. When you gone, you can't even defend yourself. Now they're going to flip on you so they can get a buck. Some of these suspected white supremacists just cannot be trusted in life or death. Real dirtbag scumbag shit. You dig? You understand, when some of these suspected white supremacists, when they love money get low, oh, they going to play the white supremacy card. You better understand that. They fine with you. When everything is cool, they little money is flowing, everything is cool. But when they get older, that little money starts drying up. They're like, well, hell, I got this get out of broke free card because I dealt with a black person who got some money and I can, use my get out of broke free card, which is white supremacy, to finesse them out of money. And that's what they did with Cosby. Cosby was an extortion case. But the thing is, you have so much of these shea butter people demonizing black male sexuality because the white supremacists are putting them up to it because they demonize black male heterosexuality. They're making heterosexuality become criminalized. Just being a straight man, that has become an epithet. That has become something derogatory. A straight black man. Let me be very clear about that. A straight black man. So they do all types of funding to promote black men being more feminized. They go out of their way. You got to understand, the white supremacists, they don't help us with nothing, but all of a sudden, they don't help us with housing, schooling, food, shelter, nothing. But all of a sudden, when you want to sleep with another dude, all of a sudden, the money starts coming. All of a sudden, the money starts popping up. All of a sudden, you get fake embraced. You dig? And then they get selected Negroes within black society who thinks that they are intersectional to get online and do a lot of anti-black male promotion. And some of these LBGT bedwench mammy shea butters, they do the same thing with this black male hatred. Because you got to understand, a lot of these LBGT, especially these studs, a lot of their hatred is based on a few things. A lot of it, some dusty nigga in their family done touched on them when they were younger. And some of these dudes too. A lot of these dudes, you know, they have no problem being vitriolic towards straight black men because some Negro in their family done touched on them. So they're going to attack all straight black men. And the white supremacists see this and they elevate them to do this. Also, with a lot of these anti-black man hating studs, a lot of them, it's penis envy. They can't stand the fact that black men have something that they want, which is that penis. When they start talking about black men have privileges, and I talked about this many years ago, when they start talking about straight black man privilege, and people are like, what the hell are you talking about? What privileges do we have? Then they start talking crazy and talking in circles. Then I realize the privilege they mean means is that's a penis. When they say straight black man privilege, that means a dick. That's what they mean by that. And a lot of these shea butter studs, they're really vitriolic towards straight black men. Because they don't want competition. Because, see, they want to be the man. They want to be the pretend man. And one of my old school players told me something real slick a long time ago. When they used to go to certain after-hour spots out in L.A. to get at females. And they would say, hey, man, you got to watch certain spots with certain butches and studs in there. Because when it's just the studs in there with the ladies, the studs get to be the man. But when the players walk off in there, the studs go back to being ugly women. And a lot of them, they think like white supremacists. They don't want a masculine black man around. Because when a masculine black man comes around, them studs, them shea butters, well, the women are looking at that man. The stud is walking around with her tattoos and her wife beater on and her little dildo strapped on. And then when a real dude walk in there, they see the femmes cutting those eyes over there at them brothers. So they feel a certain way. So they go home and get on Twitter and talk about how straight black men ain't about shit. Straight black men are the death of black society. Straight black men gotta go. See, that's where a lot of that came from. That's why they attack straight black men, especially dominant black men, confident black men. You understand? because they look at that as competition. When you walk back in the room, you take their fake manhood status away. So they would love to team up with white supremacy to take you down. And the thing is, I see a lot of these shea butters get on Twitter talking about how straight black men are the weakest link. You see, straight black men are the weakest link in black society. Straight black men are the weakest link. Who's the strongest? Who's protecting black society? The problem is we don't have enough straight masculine black men out here protecting our society. That's why we're vulnerable. That's why an 11-year-old girl can get knocked in her damn face and ain't nobody gonna do nothing about it. We don't have enough masculine people in black society. You dig? And that's somebody made a good point in the chat room. Anytime you see, well, Tariq and them, they be hating black women. 100% of the time, those are black men bashers / haters. 100% of the time, people who say that, they are black men bashers / haters. Look up their background. Because I always tell them, you don't see any tweets of me bashing all black women. You can't find anything anywhere where I have ever bashed all black women. I've never done that. That's why nobody can find no tweets, because they don't know tweets exist. You can't find no audio. I've been around for 20-something years. You can't find no audio or tweets of me bashing all black women like they do black men. They sit up there and say, black men ain't shit. Black men are this. Black men are ratchet. Black men are weak. You don't see me saying no shit like that about no sisters. Because I don't believe no stupid shit like that. You dig? But the thing is, and I talk to brothers in the LGBT community. You still our brothers. You still our brothers. We fight to protect you just like we fight to protect everybody else. Now, just because you a brother who's LGBT, that don't give you a pass to be a coon, because the problem that a lot of folks have with cats like the Shea Butters, not because you LGBT, you a coon, and you hiding your coonery behind LGBT. You dig? Just like a lot of chicks who are LGBT. Really, a lot of the women who claim to be feminists, when you see somebody talking about they're a black feminist, 9 times out of 10, they're just a black lesbian, a black bisexual, and that's, it's easier to politicize your sexuality, to hide it behind some kind of fake political ideology you don't really have. A lot of them are not really feminists whatsoever. A lot of them could give less than a damn about what happens to black women as a group. Now, as a matter of fact, they don't even like other black women. They can't stand being around other black women unless it's a sexual situation where they're dominating each other. You dig? Yeah, I'm getting real deep tonight. We're going to talk that shit tonight. And I've talked about this before. A lot of those shea butter feminists who claim to be feminists, they ain't, there's not a feminist bone in their bodies. That's just something they can use to codify, talking code to mask their sexuality. When white women say they're feminists, there's a lot of straight white women who are feminists. How many straight black women have you seen talking about they're damn feminists? It's very rare. Very, very rare. But really, that's just them being the mammies for white society. And a lot of times, they use that to submit to white women and white men. I saw some ad recently. They were talking in one of these Shea Butters pages. They had some video of talking about how gay black men get a lot of discrimination, and we need to be more aware of gay black men and all the discrimination. And they, because gay black men get discriminated against, they have to get money through the underground economy, and they have to turn to sex work because of the discrimination that gay black men get. So they got to get into dangerous things like sex work and all this stuff. And the thing is, the discrimination you face, let me talk to my gay brothers out here and my gay sisters out here, especially gay brothers. Understand, the discrimination you get is not because you're gay. You're not being discriminated against because you're gay, especially as far as work. If you're a black man and you gay, nigga, that's an advantage. I've never been at a corporation, a major corporation, that wasn't a gay dude floating around the office. So that ain't it. Everywhere I go, there's a gay black man running around the office. So they're not discriminating against you because you're gay. You're getting discriminated against because you're black. Just like the rest of us, brothers. Just like the rest of us, because they're not discriminating against you because you're gay. Because white gay men don't get discriminated against, because white community, they have a designated gay community, and they have institutions within that designated gay community, and they have resources, jobs, and other things. The white gay community got a lot of paper. They are not being discriminated against because they're gay. All my LA people, you drive through West Hollywood down Santa Monica Boulevard and look at all that fly shit. The gay part of Hollywood is the flyest part of Hollywood. You go over there by Cahuenga, Vine, some of that shit looks, you know, they cleaning it up, but some of that looks old school and a little shabby. When you start going through the Sunset Strip and then you hit Santa Monica, you see all types of fly shit over there in the gay part of town. You go to Santa Monica Boulevard, nigga, you pass Fairfax on Santa Monica, all that shit starts looking real fly. The white gay community, they got paper. Ain't no discrimination. They got all types of paper. Hey, they got the Gay and Lesbian Center out here, where they get all types of money. And this was a hustle back in the day. I remember when I first moved out here as a teen, and, you know, we were all homeless, me and all the other kids out there in Hollywood. And they would always tell people what you need to do if you need a place to stay. Go down to the Gay and Lesbian Center, tell them you are a runaway homosexual, and they'll give you vouchers, and they'll give you this, and they'll give you that. But the thing is, you had to go down there and tell them you were gay in order to get the shit. And I'm like, I'm cool, because then I kept hearing horror stories about, you know, niggas getting turned out, and that's how they get a lot of people turned out, through those, they get those runaways. I'm going to give y'all some game about L.A. and Hollywood. Y'all want to know how these pedophile rings work? I've been seeing this shit way back in the day. The Gay and Lesbian Center out here in Hollywood, you go in there and tell them you gay, they... You can stay here, you can stay there, and that's how they get motherfuckers and turn them out that way. They get them and turn them out that way. Nigga, yeah, you go down there and tell them you a gay runaway, my nigga. You go down there and tell them you a gay runaway, they start giving you all types of resources and shit. You dig? Yeah, man, that thing is real. That's where all that predatory behavior is. That's where they be turning people out. They get them group homes and those homeless shelters and those, man, they set these shits up for runaways to turn them out so fast. This thing is real, man. And then this is why Ed Buck was set up there in West Hollywood. Ed Buck out here doing experiments on dudes. And that's another thing. I'm talking to the gay brothers out here. Y'all talking about straight black men are the weakest link. Who's the strongest link? Because some of y'all out here, the stuff y'all were doing with Ed Buck, the shit y'all were letting Ed Buck do to some of y'all. Ed Buck, this white supremacist ass Ed Buck up here doing experiments on gay black men. Gay black men over there doing all types of shit with that crazy ass psycho. And I'm learning that he had little racist nicknames for these dudes. He would call his little boy toys, hey, my little nigger boy, and nigger boy this and nigger boy that. He would have all these derogatory names and dudes in there letting him shoot. Ed Buck shooting cats up with meth and other chemicals and doing God knows what. And then niggas dying up in there. So don't ever fix y'all mouth to say somebody's a weak link and y'all letting that type of shit happen. And Ed Buck ain't seen no parts of a damn jail. And he's gay. So that goes, that gay privilege thing. See, a lot of cats try to claim gay and lesbian so they can run away from blackness. It don't work like that. There's still white supremacy within that movement. There's no designated gay black community. You're just another victim of white supremacy. The black gay community is basically a bunch of Negroes and women running around trying to get some money from some white lesbians or some white gay dudes. That's the black gay community right there. Y'all running up after them. And fucking and fighting each other, getting high and chasing white people to get some money. That's the black gay community right there. Let's keep it 100. You're still a victim of white supremacy. That ain't gonna get you out the mix. We're all one and the same. As Neely Fuller says, all victims are equal. So the thing is, a lot of cats have been coaxed to turning in their masculinity because they will feel like they'll be less of a threat to the system of white supremacy if they take on feminine characteristics. And as we see with the Ed Bucks of the world, it doesn't work like that. There's no sexually escaping your blackness. And there's a lot of black folks out here who are damn near suicidal. They want to see, they don't like themselves, so they don't like black society, so they would like to see all of it crushed. And these are the Negroes we're going to have to learn how to avoid. Now, somebody in the chat room said Ed Buck might be an agent. My dude, Ed Buck, oh my God, dude, I've been researching that. The fact that he's getting away with the shit that he's gotten away with, I was thinking that too with Ed Buck. What is this dude up to? Is this dude part of some organization where he's doing some kind of experiments? Some of the stuff I keep hearing about what he's been doing with brothers, injecting them with what? You got to watch stuff like that. Y'all know, like every like 10 years, like 10, 20 years, every 10 years, we always see something pop up where there's a lot of black males being targeted real nefariously. Every 10, 20 years we see it. And they target black men because they know that it will inadvertently target the black community as a whole. Let's be straight by that. But going back to Tuskegee, you know, they did those Tuskegee experiments back in the 60s. In the 40s. They did those Tuskegee experiments then, and then in the late 70s, and I talked about this on Instagram the other day, you had the, and now let's go to the 60s. In the 60s, they was doing stuff with brothers in Vietnam too. A lot of stuff ain't talked about. That's another thing too. There was a lot of stuff going on in Vietnam, and they were doing a lot of testing of drugs on black folks in the 60s too. A lot of us don't know about. I'm skipping ahead. Let me not skip ahead. There's so much shit. But in the 60s, they were doing a lot of those drug testings and military testings in the 60s. Late 70s, y'all remember the Atlanta child murders, with a bunch of black children in Atlanta getting killed every damn day. In a very methodical way, they were killing all these black children in Atlanta, just dozens of black kids getting killed. And what's interesting, the CDC was involved in that investigation in the Atlanta child murders. And there's a lot of up in the air questions about a lot of things that went on with that. There was a lot of questions going on about that. And the dude they got, Wayne Williams, that's the fall guy. Nobody believed he did it. They would have killed him in prison if they really believed he did it. Nobody believes he did. I don't believe that he killed all those people. That was just the fall guy. You dig? And then you go another 10 years, late 80s, early 90s. Jeffrey Dahmer. And with Jeffrey Dahmer, that might have been some shit too. Because remember, Jeffrey Dahmer was killing black folks. He was killing black folks for a long time before he got caught. And remember, Jeffrey Dahmer was the only one who got caught. Jeffrey Dahmer is up there in Milwaukee just chopping up black men left and damn right. For years. You understand? So I always ask questions about stuff like this. And now we got this Ed Buck that we just happened to find out this dude is out here doing experiments on multiple black men. He's out here doing experiments on black men. And the only reason we found out about it because a couple of them died. So no telling what he's doing and how long he's been doing it. You dig? But a lot of times law enforcement know about this stuff, but they let it go on. Going back to Jeffrey Dahmer, remember, it was some sisters who tried to save it was a Cambodian kid that Jeffrey Dahmer was trying to eat. And he actually got away from Jeffrey Dahmer. He ran out into the street, and there was some black women who tried to save this little boy. He was like 14 years old, little Cambodian boy, or Lao Asian. He was one of those little dark-skinned East Southern Asian guys. And he ran out to the street because Jeffrey Dahmer was trying to get him, and Jeffrey Dahmer drugged him, and some sisters was like, hey, come with us. And then the police came, and the police took the kid from the sisters, and the sisters were like, hey, no, that boy's in trouble. The boy's in trouble. And the cops was like, y'all get out of here. Get the fuck out of here. And took the boy back to Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment. And Jeffrey killed and ate the boy. Yeah, going back to Jim Jones, too, in the 70s. Jim Jones, that's another one where a large number of black folks got killed. And Dr. Welsing was talking about how the government might have been involved in that. All those black folks got killed like that. There was another case in Oregon in the 80s where there was a whole bunch of black folks who were bused to this compound of this cult leader. They were all bused into this city because they wanted these black folks to vote for him to get into some kind of elective office. And all of a sudden, all the black folks disappeared. Don't nobody know what happened to them. And this was in Oregon in the 80s. Where my Oregon people? Y'all know what I'm talking about. This is a real rare case. I talked about this on my show before, up in Oregon. Was it Antelope, Oregon? Yeah, look that up. They bust in all these black folks in this city in Oregon. I think some of the black people were homeless or whatever, but they had them living in this city so they can vote for this cult guru dude. Then all of a sudden, they don't know where the black people just disappear. They don't know where they went. Yeah, man, there's some heavy shit that goes on out here, man. Rognishi, that's the dude. So, man, this thing is heavy out here, man. You look that up. Look that up. This is some heavy stuff, man. Look up Rognishi, Antelope, Oregon. Y'all Google that. Rognishi, Antelope, Oregon. This is rich-ass East Indian guru dude. I think he was East Indian. He had like a gang, like 100 Rolls Royces. I mean, he was sitting on some real paper. There was somebody said an Oregon body part trafficking ring in Detroit, Vegas, and other cities. Is this new? Because they've been doing these organ traffickings in Detroit and Chicago for a long time. So the dude escaped to India, so he went on and bounced, right? Wow. But anyway, man, let me get out of here, man. I've been chopping up with you guys. Damn, it's been damn near 2 hours. Shit. We having a good conversation tonight, man. Nice good spitting. Bagman Rognishi. Y'all look that dude up. But anyway, man, Everybody go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 and the North Sentinel Island sweaters and shirts. I got some more shirts coming. Some more brands coming. Also, go to FirstThem.com. Continue to support the First Them movement. It's 3,000 of y'all in here. Everybody go contribute to First Them so we can keep this thing popping. And I'm going to holler at you guys this Sunday on the broadcast. Y'all subscribe, like the page. I'm going to holler.